Hey there, folks. Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello. Welcome. Welcome back, perhaps. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this video. This is a crazy special video that we're doing today. And I say that because there's one thing different that is happening here as I try to record this right now. This here, right now, believe it or not, is, I think, about the 30th take on this video. Something keeps coming and blocking what I'm trying to put forward and share from Scripture here today. A storm, if I might. And we're in Luke chapter 8 right now, looking at verses 22 through to 25. And I use that word a storm because this is the time where the storm came and it brought fear. It brought fear to the disciples. Yet Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind, rebuked the waves, calmed the seas. And so I've just finished a time of prayer now before recording this for the 30-somethingth time. And I'm really just going to ask you right here, right now, to stop what you're doing and to listen and to pause and hear what the Lord is saying in this section of Scripture. Because it is so easy. Man, it is so easy for us just to go over these things and just read them and miss them. Or apply some kind of, you know, practice and procedure and, you know, means or ways of learning them. This is how we learn the Bible. The number one thing that we can learn and how we learn from these is through the Holy Spirit within, giving us revelation, helping us understand it. So that is my prayer for you today, for me, as it just was also as I share this. Let's read Luke 8. From verse 22, it says, "Now it happened on a certain day that he," Jesus, "he got into a boat with his disciples. He says to them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the lake.' So they launched, they pushed the boat out, but as they sailed, it says he fell asleep. But then a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy." Now, I'm just going to pause here 1 minute. I'm not a boatie. I'd be right there with them. Boat starts filling up with water. I'm not a happy camper. And so they, verse 24, they come, they wake up Jesus. "Oh yeah, Master, hello, help, we're perishing." Yes, but he gets up and he rebukes the wind. He rebukes the raging of the water, and they ceased and there was a calm. And then this, verse 25, he says to them, Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says, "Where's your faith?" And they were afraid and they marveled. They put fear and awe, I get that, saying to one another, "Who can this be? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now, I've heard a few sermons on this one over the years. You may well have too. And of course, we talk about the storms of life. And the very first thing that we have habit of doing is putting ourselves, understandably so, into the feet, the sandals, if you would, of the disciples. Now, for me, not being a boatie, I'm going, yeah, I get this, I understand, but be careful, because if we do that, we get this slap across the face, which is, where is your faith? So, a couple of points I do want to bring out on this. And I've got my notes here, and I'm going to let them guide me, but I'm also just going to speak, and I pray the Holy Spirit speak through me for whoever you are right now listening to this. Maybe it's me that needs to hear it. Maybe it's you. But there are a few things that do really stand out to me. And as I read through Scripture, I look for those things that stand out. You ever had that happen? You can be reading through Scripture and you go, really? How have I not seen this before? I've read this passage, what, a dozen times? How have I not seen this before? But the Holy Spirit reveals something new to you. Well, that's the beauty of the living Word, Logos, revealed here through Rhema, the written word. How good is God that he could do that? And I read this, and the very first thing that I'd never noticed as I was going through it before was this promise which Jesus makes right up front in the beginning. He says, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And most of us would just look at that and see it as a simple instruction. Maybe it's a sentence or, you know, just a statement. But when you look at it closely, you pause, give thought to it, you realize this is actually a promise. Because he didn't say, "Hey guys, there's a storm coming. Let's get in the boat. Be quick. We need to get there as quickly as we can." He didn't say that. "Let's see how we go." He didn't say that. He didn't say, guys, let's just get out the middle there and perish in the middle of the sea. It'd be nice to know. No, he didn't say that. He said, let us cross over to where? To the other side of the lake. And the Sea of Galilee, I believe it's about 20 kilometers top to bottom, maybe a dozen or so across in different places, a little bit shorter. So they're out there in the middle of the water, and this crazy storm comes down and hits them. And as I was reading that, just giving thought, praying about it, the first person that came to mind, of course, was Jonah. Now Jonah was out there in the middle of a storm, but it's interesting because Jonah was in the storm because of disobedience. And here, well, they're being obedient. Let us go to the other side of the lake. So they get in the boat and they go with him. They're being obedient, and yet there is still a storm. And I think that in itself is just worth giving time to and considering, because many of us will think, oh, because I did this, now this. Because I was disobedient, now this. Now, there are times in Scripture, without question, where it certainly makes it very clear that the Lord allows things into our lives to bring us back to Him, to course correct His children, I'm talking about right now, the faithful believers, and things that will happen as a course correction to bring us back to Him. Yes, but they are for His glory, for His purpose, for His building up of the faith. We count it all joy, it says in the book of James, when we are tested, when we are in trials, because they bring about patience. And then we are told that patience needs to have its perfect work in us, that we might be complete and lacking nothing, which means, as we read further, in faith. So yes, these things do happen, but my point here is this: the storms just come. So I want you to settle that one in your heart right now. The storms just come. There is a branch of Christianity out there, crazy as it seems to me, that just says, if you're just faithful, nothing will ever go wrong in life. And if something does, you didn't have enough faith. No. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. That is not the illustration from Scripture. It is not what it says. So we should not set our minds to add to it, as it doesn't say such. Storms come. But, as they sailed, it says, he fell asleep. So this is a real interesting point. Because as we come to know Christ, and I've got two things here. As we come to know the Lord, and we see here, particularly in Luke, and I'm going to show the crossover, a change, something which I've noticed in this particular study. We read of Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, the humanity of Jesus, but we also read of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the one sent by God, promised by God, the Savior, literally of the world, God Himself incarnate in the flesh. So we see both His humanity and we see His divinity revealed. And here we see both. And I need you to see this as we go through these, because there's a beautiful transition from Jesus of Nazareth to Jesus the Christ, which we see pre and post Pentecost. But for now, we are seeing here both His humanity and His divinity. He's asleep. And I look at that and I just go, bruh, come on. Asleep in the storm. How good is that? Such peace, such rest, being one with the Father, trusting His Father in His flesh, trusting His Father that He would have hold of him, have care for him because of His great love for him. Man, I want that. I want that. Yes, absolutely. So I'm impressed that in His humanity He could sleep, because I see there a model there for me also. And it says that a windstorm, it comes down the lake. I'm just going through these step by step, these observations as I've noted them here. And must have been one crazy storm. I mean, it says in Mark that they were terrified. Seasoned sailors, they were genuinely in fear for their life. And if I was in the boat, I'd be right up there with them. Come on, Jesus, help. And there's a prayer in there for us also to give thought to as well. Someone once said to me, how should I pray? How should I pray, Paul? How do I get it right? Because if you've had some kind of religious background, you know, it's the hands together, it's the head bowed, the eyes closed with sort of, you know, pious humility. That's not the illustration, again, we see from Scripture. This is a great prayer to remember. Jesus, help. There are times I've had to call out and I've had to cry out, and that's pretty much what I've said in my English as well. Lord, help. And that's what they do. They wake him going, Master, 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 we are perishing, help. They didn't take comfort from the fact that he was there in the boat because he was asleep. And I look at this. I wonder if this is the part that I've been wrestling with as I go through this and why I've had to do so many takes in this. I think it comes down to the simple fact that too many of us live our lives, Christian lives, as if Jesus is just over there somewhere asleep on the boat. And only then when we need him, Lord, help. I wonder if that's what it is that I'm wrestling with here in my spirit. Instead of, I mean, these guys here, you know, would they have seen it differently if he was awake? Do they think that Jesus might have just gone, well, guys, there's a storm coming, but it's going to be okay? Maybe that is the point. But he said that in the beginning. He said, let us go over to what? The other side of the lake. And you kind of think that maybe in their fear, they thought that the whole mission, the whole plan of Jesus was just going to go down in that moment. Gone. We're toast. And I think here is where we see what we need to understand here. Master, oh Master, we are perishing. We, as if he is in the boat with us. This is the point I want you to hear right now. Master, we are perishing as if he is in the boat with us. No. Listen carefully. We are in the boat with him. When we come to Christ in faith, it's not us going, hey, I'm just going to attach myself to you, going to get into your boat. Oh, no, guys. And yet, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us that we might come to faith in him. He did all of the work. He hung on that cross at Calvary. And at the end, he cried out, it is finished. There is nothing more that we must do other than look to him in faith. Christ on the cross, buried, risen again in 3 days. And he says to us, come. Get in the boat with me. This is not us inviting him into our mortal lives. This is him inviting us into eternal life. And there's a difference there that I need you to see, because we, in our modern Christianity, we have this horrible habit of making it about us. We have this horrible habit of reading Scripture and putting ourselves into the shoes and the sandals of the hero of the day. No, guys, we are the disciples in fear, but even then in our flesh going, Lord, we are perishing, we are perishing, as if the whole plan of God is about to go down the tube. No, absolutely not, because it wasn't your idea to get in the boat. It was his invitation and his hand that took you and held you and said, hey, come with me as we go to the other side. He has got you from this moment forward. Live with him. Don't pretend that he's asleep somewhere on the boat. Talk with him daily. Speak with him. Learn from him. Read the scriptures. See everything, the fullness of the gospel that is here for us, that he wants for us. But understand this, it begins with him. You think, oh, but Paul, I walked out, I got up, I walked to the front and I gave my life to Jesus. I made that decision. Oh, yeah, you did. You absolutely did make that decision to follow him. But guess what? The only reason you were there in the first place was because he brought you into the boat. You're only there because he invited you in, because he made it possible, because he moved the pieces of the life puzzle around, if I can say it that way, to bring you to that moment on your knees before him. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. He did that for you. It's not that he is in the boat with us. We are in the boat with him. Let us go over to the other side. Paul, he might say to me, Paul, let us go. Come with me as we walk through this life. Let me bring you to eternal life. Don't think that Jesus is stepping into your mortal life. No, he calls us to step into eternal life through faith on the cross of Calvary with him. And I look at this and I take that slap in the face. I take that slap in the face where he says, I'm not even going to edit that out. Where is your faith? We stumble in our faith because we think it's about us. Just trust him. He's right here, and he has brought you in and given you the measure of faith that you need for that moment. And then he gets up. He arose. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the raging of the sea. I mean, he didn't just quiet it. He rebuked it. No, he said. No. This, along with the fear of the disciples, we see here often, too often, yes, representation of us, confronts them at their destination. Actually, it's interesting, and we'll come to this as we get to it very shortly, that after this crazy storm, all of a sudden, he's met with this man who is, you know, possessed with many demons. I get the feeling, as I was reading through this, that Satan was really actually trying to have a crack right then and there. Satan's going, oh man, if I can just take them all down, mission done, mission over. But Jesus says, where is your faith? I kind of want to just almost leave it there. Couple of points. Psalm 89. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea when its waves rise. You still them. It could only be the Lord God Almighty who would do such a thing. And here, this short story. Yes, we see the situation. Yes, we see the circumstances. We see both Jesus of Nazareth in his humanity needing to sleep. Kind of like I would picture a soldier in the theater of war needing to sleep, catch a nap whenever he can. We see this of Jesus of Nazareth. But we also see Jesus the Christ, Lord Jesus, rebuking the waves in the sea. And we see that beautiful first statement as it comes, let us go. Let us. We see him for who he is. And we see us for who we are. So let me give you this encouragement as we wrap up. If you haven't thought of it before, I want you to picture it like this, just another more modern analogy. You're driving. Hitchhiker. Hey, it's Jesus. He gets in the car with you. You feel at peace. You feel safe. No. I don't want you to use that illustration anymore. I heard it once from the platform. No, you are the hitchhiker. Jesus is, he's the driver. You get into his car. Can you see that difference? That's the difference. He has invited you in. Hey, let us go now to the other side of the lake. God bless, folks. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.